Welcome to the Fairy Tales of India, where we bring to you stories of kings and queens, of princes and fairies, and of crafty wizards and magical beasts. These are classic tales of adventure, magic, and drama from India, brought to you in a new avatar by Gatha Story. To learn more, visit MythsAndLegendsIndia.com. The Barber and His Clever Wife. Once upon a time, there lived a barber who was such a poor, silly creature that he couldn't even do his business. He was a bad practitioner of this trade, in that he would snip off his customers' ears instead of their hair and cut their throats instead of shaving them. Ouch! So, of course, he grew poorer by the day. Things went from bad to worse, till at last he found himself with nothing left in his house but his wife and his razor. Both of whom, his wife and his razor, that is, were as sharp could be. His wife was an exceedingly clever person who continually rated her husband for his stupidity. When she saw they had literally nothing left in the house, she began to give her husband an earful. But the barber took it very calmly.
"What is the use of making such a fuss, my dear?" said he. "You've told me all this before, and I quite agree with you. I never did work. I never could work. And I never will work smartly. That is the fact."
"Then you must beg," replied his wife, "for I will not starve to please you. Go to the palace and beg something of the king. There is a wedding feast going on, and he is sure to give alms to the poor."
"Very well, my dear," said the barber submissively. He was rather afraid of his clever wife, so he did as he was told, and going to the palace, begged of the king to give him something.
Something? You want me to give you something?"
asked the king, who was both surprised and angry.
What thing do you mean when you say something?"
Now, the barber's wife had not mentioned anything in particular, and the barber was far too dense to think of anything by himself. So he answered cautiously,
Something? Will a piece of land do?"
said the king. Whereupon the lazy barber, glad to be helped out of the difficulty, remarked that perhaps a piece of land would do as well as anything else. Then the king ordered a piece of waste outside the city should be given to the barber, who went home quite satisfied.
"What did you get?"
asked the clever wife, who was waiting impatiently for his return.
"Give it to me quick, so that I may go and buy bread."
And now you may imagine how she must have reacted when she found that he had only got a piece of waste land.
"But land is land," said the barber. "It can't run away. So, we will always have something of ours now."
"Was there ever such a dunderhead?" raged the clever wife. "What good a ground is unless we can till it? And from where will we get bullocks and ploughs?
And so the barber had no answer. But his wife, as we have said, was an exceedingly clever person. She set her wits to work and soon thought of a plan whereby to make the best of a bad bargain. She took her husband with her and set off to the piece of waste land.
"Now, just do as I say."
She said to her husband, and she began walking about the field. She would walk a few paces and then begin to search for something in the ground. She would pick up a stone here or pull out a weed there. But when anybody happened to walk down the path that was next to the field, she would sit down and pretend to be doing nothing at all. Now it so happened that 7 thieves were hiding in a thicket nearby. They watched the barber and his wife all day until they became convinced something mysterious was going on. So, at sunset, they sent one of their number to try and find out what was really going on.
"Well, the fact is," said the barber's wife, after beating about the bush for some time, "this field belonged to my grandfather, who had buried 5 pots full of gold somewhere. We were just trying to discover the exact spot before we could begin to dig. You won't tell anyone, will you?" The thief promised he wouldn't, of course. But the moment the barber and his wife went home, he called his companions and told them of the hidden treasure.
"We must look for the pots of gold before the 2 fools return in the morning," said the leader of the gang, as he set his crew to work. All night long, they dug and delved till the field looked as if it had been ploughed 7 times over. The robbers were as tired could be. But never a gold piece, nor a silver piece, nor a 2-bit coin did they find. Finally, when dawn came, they went away disgusted. The barber's wife, when she found the field so beautifully ploughed, laughed heartily at the success of her plan. Going to the corn dealer's shop, she borrowed some rice to sow in the field. This the corn dealer willingly gave her and struck a deal by which he would get it back 3-fold at harvest time. And what a bargain he made! The land had been lying waste for several years, and the deep digging done by the thieves brought out the best in the soil. The barber's wife reaped a bumper crop. She paid off her debts, kept enough for her use, and sold the rest for a great number of gold pieces. Now, when the thieves saw this, they were very angry indeed. They went to the barber's house and demanded,
"Hey, give us our share of the harvest. We toiled and tilled the ground, as you very well know."
"I told you, there was gold in the ground,"
laughed the barber's wife.
"But you didn't find it."
"I have.
And there's a pot full of it in the house. But you rascals shall never have a single penny from it.
Very well,
said the thieves.
Look out for yourself tonight. If you won't give us our share, then we will take it.
So that night, one of the thieves hid himself in the house, intending to open the door to his comrades when the barber and his wife were fast asleep. But the barber's wife saw him with the corner of her eye and resolved to teach him a lesson. She woke up her husband, who was confused and panicked. While he was in a dreadful state of alarm, he asked her what she had done with the gold pieces. She replied,
I put them where no one will find them, under the sweetmeats, in the pantry. I have kept it inside a pot in the little storage behind the door.
The thief chuckled at hearing this. He waited till all was quiet. He went to the pantry and searched for the pot. He found the pot exactly where the barber's wife had described it and made off with it. He reached the outskirts of the village, where his comrades were hiding. He whispered to them that he had got the prize. Fearing pursuit, they fled to a thicket, where they sat down to divide the spoil.
She said there were sweetmeats on the top,
said the thief.
I will divide them first, and then we can eat them. For it is tiring work, this waiting and watching, and all this makes me very hungry.
So he divided what he thought were the sweetmeats as well as he could in the dark. Now in reality, the pot was full of cakes made of cow dung. The barber's wife had put there on purpose. When the thieves crammed what they thought was delicious food into their mouths, you may imagine what faces they made and how they vowed revenge. So they returned the next day to threaten and repeat their claim to a share of the crop. The barber's wife only laughed at them.
Have a care, they cried. Twice you fooled us. Once by making us dig all night, and next by feeding us on filth. It will be our turn tonight.
Then another thief hid himself in the house. But the barber's wife saw him with half an eye. When her husband asked,
What have you done with the gold, my dear? I hope you haven't put it under the pillow.
She answered,
Don't be alarmed. It is outside the house. I have hidden it in the branches of the neem tree outside. No one will think of looking for it there.
The thief chuckled from his hiding place. And when the house folk were fast asleep, he slipped out and told his companions.
Sure enough, there it is,
cried the captain of the band, peering up into the branches.
One of you, go up and fetch it down.
But what he had really seen was a honeycomb full of great big brown and yellow honeybees. So one of the thieves climbed up the tree and he came close to the honeycomb. And just reaching up to take hold of it, a honeybee flew out and stung him on the thigh. He immediately clapped his hand to the spot.
"Oh, you thief!"
cried out the rest from below.
"You're pocketing the gold pieces, are you? Oh, shame on you. I assure you I'm not doing anything of the kind,"
retorted the thief.
"But there is something that bites me in this tree. Ouch!"
Just at that moment, another hornet stung him on his shoulder, and he clapped his hand there.
"Die! Die for shame! We saw you did it that time,"
cried the rest.
"Just you stop that at once, or we will make you."
So they sent up another thief, but he fared no better. By this time, the bees were thoroughly roused, and they stung the poor man all over, so that he kept clapping his hands here, there, and everywhere.
"Shame, shame, shame on you two,"
bawled the rest.
Chandralekha heard this, and she, without the slightest noise, took hold of a branch and swung herself off it.
Enjoyed the story? Listen to the full series of Myths, Legends and Fairy Tales of India, exclusively available on Storytel. Thousands of stories waiting to be heard. Start your free trial today by subscribing at www.storytel.in.
One after another, they climbed into the tree. They were determined to share the booty. The leader of the gang, intent on having the prize, seized hold of the honeycomb. At the same time, the branch on which they were all standing broke, and they all came tumbling down. The honeycomb landed right on top of them. And then, in spite of bumps and bruises, you can imagine what a stampede there was. After this, the barber's wife had some peace. For every one of the seven thieves was in the hospital. In fact, they were laid up for so long a time that she began to think that they would never come again. But she was wrong. One night, it was incredibly hot, and she had left the windows open to let some breeze come in. She was awakened by whisperings outside, and at once recognized the thieves' voices. The thieves were planning to enter the house and rob the woman. She resolved not to yield without a struggle. Therefore, she seized her husband's razor, crept to the side of the window, and stood quite still. Soon, the first thief began to peep through cautiously. She just waited till the tip of his nose was visible, and then flash! She sliced his nose with the razor as clean as a whistle.
"Ah!"
yelled the thief, drawing back mighty quick.
"I've cut my nose on something!"
"Hush! Shh! Shh! Shh!" whispered the others. "You'll wake someone! Go on!"
"Not me,"
said the thief.
"I'm bleeding like a pig."
"Pooh!"
Maybe you knocked your nose against the shutter, I suppose,
said the second thief.
I'll go,
he said. He began to climb through the window.
But swish!
Off went the tip of his nose too.
Dear me,
said he ruefully.
There's certainly something sharp inside.
A bit of bamboo in the lattice, most likely, remarked the third thief. But do not worry, I'll go, he said.
Can you imagine what happened next?
Yes, flick, off went his nose too.
It is most extraordinary, he exclaimed, hurriedly leaving the house as he held his bleeding nose. I feel exactly as if someone had cut the tip of my nose off. Oh my God!
Ah, rubbish, said the fourth thief. What cowards you all are. Let me go.
But he fared no better. Nor the fifth thief, nor the sixth.
My friends,
said the leader of the gang, when it came to his turn.
You are all disabled. One man must remain unhurt to protect the wounded. Let us return another night.
Now he was a cautious man, you see, and he valued his nose. So they crept away sulkily. And the barber's wife lit a lamp and gathered all the nose tips, put them away safely in a little box. Now, before the robbers' noses were healed over, the hot weather set in. The barber and his wife, finding it warm, sleeping inside the house, put their beds in the courtyard. You see, in those days, there was no electricity and therefore no fans or air conditioning. People used to sleep outside the house, as they still do in some villages. But let's come back to the barber and his wife. So they began to sleep in the courtyard. Each night before sleeping, they made sure that the thieves would not return. But the thieves are thieves. They did return. Seizing a good opportunity for revenge, they lifted up the wife's bed. They carried her off when she was fast asleep. She woke up to find herself on her bed that was moving. In the silver light of the moon, she could see four heads and the silhouette of three others. She knew right away that the thieves were going to take their revenge. At first, she gave herself up for lost. And though she thought and thought and thought, she could find no way of escape. However, as luck would have it, the robbers paused to take breath under a banyan tree. Quick as lightning, she seized hold of a branch that was within reach and swung herself into the tree, leaving her quilt on the bed, just as if she were still in it.
Let us rest a bit here,
said the thieves who were carrying the bed.
There is plenty of time, and we are tired. Oh, she is dreadfully heavy.
The barber's wife could hardly help laughing, but she had to keep very still, for it was a bright moonlit night. The robbers, after setting down their burden, began to squabble as to who should take first watch. At last, they determined that it should be the captain, for the others had really barely recovered from the shock of having their noses sliced off. So they lay down to sleep, while the captain walked up and down, watching the bed. And the barber's wife sat perched up in the tree like a giant bird. Suddenly, a thought came into her head, drawing her white veil becomingly over her face. She began to sing softly. The leader of the robbers looked up and saw the veiled figure of a woman in the tree. Of course, he was a little surprised, but he was a good-looking young fellow, and he jumped at once to the conclusion that it was a fairy who had fallen in love with his handsome face. For fairies are known to do such things sometimes, especially on moonlit nights. So he twirled his mustaches, gave her a big smile, and finally winked his eye, waiting for her to speak. But the barber's wife went on singing and took no notice of him. Finally, he stopped her and called out,
"Come down, my beauty. I won't hurt you."
But still she went on singing. So he climbed up into the tree, determined to attract her attention. When he came quite close, she turned away her head and sighed.
"What is the matter, my beauty?"
he asked tenderly.
"Of course, you are a fairy. You have fallen in love with me, haven't you? Oh, there is nothing to sigh about that, surely."
"Ah," said the barber's wife with another sigh. "I believe you are fickle. Men with long pointed noses are always fickle." But the leader of the robbers swore he was the most solid of men. Yet still, the fairy sighed and sighed until he almost wished his nose had been shortened too.
"You are telling tall tales, I'm sure," said the barber's wife. "Just let me touch your tongue with the tip of mine, and then I shall be able to taste if you are telling the truth or lying about it."
So the robber captain put out his tongue and snip! The barber's wife bit the tip off clean. What with the fright and the pain, he tumbled off the branch and fell bump on the ground.
"What is the matter?"
cried his comrades, awakened by the noise of his fall. Answered he, pointing up into the tree. He could not speak clearly without the tip of his tongue.
"What is the matter?" they bawled in his ear, as if that would do any good.
Said he, still pointing upwards.
"The man is bewitched," cried one. "There must be a ghost in the tree."
Just then the barber's wife began flapping her veil and howling. The robbers, without waiting to look, began to run. They were so frightened that they did not even look back. They dragged their leader with them. After a while, the barber's wife came down from the tree and walked quietly home. After this, the thieves came to the conclusion that it was no use trying to use force against the barber's wife. So they went to the king, pleading for justice and to claim their share. But the barber's wife pleaded her own cause very well. She brought with her the noses and the tongue tip as witnesses. The king was very impressed by her wit and presence of mind. He sent the thieves away to the prison and made her husband the royal barber and gave her a big reward. The king's ministers were surprised. They asked the king why he rewarded the barber when it was his wife who was the real hero. The king smiled and replied,
"He will never do a foolish thing as long as his wife is alive, and she will no longer have to come to his rescue. That is the best reward I thought of giving her."
The story was narrated by Shirali Biju for Fairy Tales of India and has been produced by Gatha Story.